Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter number 3. We've been studying the book of Acts for a little while now, and most recently looked at the concluding verses of chapter number 2 under the heading of Indications that God is Working in the Church. And we noticed there in the Church of Jerusalem there were souls that were being saved, converts being baptized, sound doctrine being adhered to. They were enjoying fellowship one with another. There was fervent prayer, and it was common amongst the church. And there was oneness of mind regarding their purpose. And their primary purpose in glorifying the Lord was to preach the gospel message to sinners so that they could be saved. And so this morning we're going to move into chapter number 3 and look at the healing of the lame man. And so let's begin reading in chapter 3 and verse 1, and we'll read through verse number 12. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto them, unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Let's pray. Lord, I ask thy blessing upon this message this morning. Lord, while we might at first think that it's just a simple account of the healing of a lame man, I pray, God, that we would be able to make appropriate application of what transpires here to our own lives. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray that as a result of this message, we'd be more grateful for the work that Christ performed for us at Calvary. And Lord, for those who might be here and are still lost and unsaved, use the message to draw them unto thyself. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you begin to look at this chapter and this incident, it's kind of interesting that Peter and John were simply going about their daily activities. Now, those daily activities included, you know, worshiping the Lord and praying, and they were actually going to the temple for the hour of prayer. They were going there to pray. It doesn't indicate that they were necessarily going there to witness or looking for opportunity to preach the gospel. But perhaps that was what was in view for them. But if it wasn't, and they were just simply going about, you know, their normal activities, what they would normally do, they seized an opportunity that God provided them. You know, it reminds me of a couple of different passages. One of my favorite verses is found in the book of Genesis in chapter 24, and verse 27, and there Abraham's servant, I assume it's Eliezer, his eldest servant, servant was looking for a bride for his son Isaac. And Eleazar was given this special task, and he went forth wondering whether or not God would prosper his journey. Because it seemed like the task that he was given, you know, to perform was one that was unlikely to come to fruition. I mean, after all, how could he walk up to some woman and ask her to come to a strange land with him to marry a man that she had never seen? And yet God providentially guided him to the woman that would follow him back to the house of Abraham and marry Isaac. And he made a statement within that account. He said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." He just did what his master commanded him. And as a result, God providentially guided his steps to accomplish his will. It also reminds me, this passage reminds me of Acts chapter 13 later on, where it says, you know, that Paul and Barnabas were, you know, ministering unto the Lord. They were serving the Lord, you might say, in a general capacity. And as they were ministering unto the Lord, it says that the Spirit of God said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas." God separated them now, not to a general task of serving him, but a more specific task of going out and preaching the gospel to other regions of the world, to other areas of the world. And I don't believe that God would ever have called them to that special place of service had they not been serving him in a general sense. You know, sometimes we get the impression that, you know, serving the Lord is only for a select few. Some might say, "Well, God hasn't called me to the pastorate. God hasn't called me to the mission field. God hasn't called me to be an evangelist, so, you know, I must just be able to live my life like the rest of the world." No, God has commissioned every single one of us who are saved to be his servants, to be a disciple. To be a disciple. And a disciple is someone who follows in the teachings and in the footsteps of someone else. And we're supposed to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to be serving him, every single one of us who are saved. And here John and Peter were serving the Lord. And as they were in the way, God brought someone into their path that they could help. And it was this lame man. And I want you to bear with me as we go through the message this morning, because it's going to take us quite a while to get to the application of the text. But I do want to focus in on this account and who this lame man was and what exactly happened to him. And I perhaps want to examine it in greater detail than we might normally do, but that's because I want to, at the end, make application to our own lives as sinners and saints. And so here it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple." So here we are introduced to this lame man. And you know, throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, they met many people with all kinds of infirmities. They came across blind men. They came across deaf men. They came across sick men. And sometimes they came across men who were already dead, and Jesus would raise them from the dead. But this man here, he wasn't blind, he wasn't deaf, he wasn't necessarily sick, but he was lame. Meaning he could not walk. And you know, while some conditions are acquired later in life, you know, blindness sometimes settles in over time for people, where their eyesight deteriorates until they're declared legally blind. Some people who are deaf, they don't begin their life that way, but they suffer hearing loss for one reason or another until they can no longer hear at all. Some people become disabled due to MS or other types of infirmities. And even some people who are lame, they're not necessarily born that way, but they become lame due to injuries from war or accidents or other types of infirmities. But this man, he didn't acquire his infirmity later in life. He was born lame. There was never a time in his life where he could walk. He never played ball with the neighborhood children. He never ran track or played in Little League baseball. He never swam in the lake. He never jumped on the bed. He was always unable to walk. He's born that way. And as a lame man, he was, as it says here in our text, he was carried daily to the gate of the temple. You know, we're living in a time of really some great medical advancements. You know, there's many conditions that we suffer today in the world that are treatable. You know, you think about the time period before eyeglasses. You know, for many of us, that would mean we'd reach a certain age and we'd no longer be able to read. You know, because it's after you're 40 that your eyesight, at least as far as nearsightedness, begins to fail you. And if it were for the advancement of, you know, eyeglasses, we would just be incapable of reading. But that's something that's treatable. Many people who do lose their hearing or part of their hearing, it's treatable today. You know, I for a time worked at the Illinois School for the Deaf in Jacksonville, Illinois, and there was all kinds of different degrees of deafness. There were some of the young people that were there, they couldn't hear at all, and therefore nor could they talk. But there were others who could talk to you in a manner that you can understand. They can talk to you almost plainly, and with the help and assistance of hearing aids, they can even hear much of what you say. So there were different stages of deafness. You know, I listen to Rush Limbaugh quite often on the radio, and I don't know that everybody's, you know, aware, you know, but he lost his hearing. And as you can imagine, you know, due to what he does for a living, and that could be rather detrimental, but he got those cochlear ear implants. And so now he's able to hear somewhat. And so we live in this day and age and where there's great scientific advances, great medical advances. I mean, even those that are without limbs have options. If you didn't know that, you know, Brother Dave was missing half of one leg. If you hadn't been around and known that, you might not figure it out on your own until he wore shorts or something. You might see him limping occasionally and say, is there something wrong with your leg? Yeah, it's missing. It's missing? Even there was a recent Olympian who had neither of his legs. And I probably should have looked it up. I can't remember what particular event he was a part of, but wasn't it a running event? Mm-hmm. How do you do that, missing both of your legs? Well, he had those two little flipper things. I don't know what you call them. I would think he would be able to win. They'd bounce you forward. Bounce. Looked to me like they'd just make you bounce real far. And he's not the only one with, you know, those artificial limbs. People have choices today. But this man lived in a different time period. There was no treatment for him. There was no surgery that could make him better. No medication. Probably didn't even have wheelchairs in this day. And there was no artificial limbs. And so he had to be carried. everywhere he went. And he was carried by his friends, his neighbors, his family, his acquaintances to the gate outside of the temple. And I would have you notice that he was located outside of what I'll call the temple square. They placed him at the gate, which I'm under the assumption that's where everybody would have entered the temple square. And it was a very strategic place, you know, to put him, because everybody would pass that way. And not just everybody, but it was the religious crowd. And, you know, they tend to be a little more sympathetic to people's infirmities and people's needs. And so he was placed there strategically and on purpose. But I'll have you notice, he didn't go in with everybody else. He was on the outside. You know, I was even reading recently in the book of Leviticus, in chapter number 21, and it was giving certain restrictions upon primarily priests and what they were capable of and incapable of doing as a priest. And here in this chapter, in verse number 16, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generation that hath any blemish." And of course, Aaron and his seed would have been the priests, the one who performed, you know, the temple duties there in the nation of Israel. "But if any have a blemish," it says, "let him not approach to offer the bread of his God." He couldn't go into the temple and offer the sacrifices. "For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish," it says, "he shall not approach." A blind man? Nope, he can't go in. A lame? Or he that hath a flat nose? You got a flat nose? Sorry. No offering of sacrifices for you, or anything superfluous. It says, "or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire." Why? Because he has a blemish. And some might charge God with being unfair, being unjust, being unaccommodating. But I think we'll see here in a moment perhaps the significance of these restrictions that God placed upon the priesthood. God is holy. God is without sin, without blemish, without flaw, without fault. And any who are to offer sacrifices to him must also be without blemish. Well, this man was not without blemish. He was lame. He was incapable of walking, and therefore he was on the outside of the temple. And what was the temple for? It was for worshiping God. It was for enjoying the fellowship and the presence of God. But this man, due to his infirmity, could not enjoy that fellowship. And so he sat at the gate of the temple, asking for alms. It says at the end of verse 2, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You know, this highlights the fact that this man did not have the ability to provide for himself. Nobody was going to hire him to do any work. I mean, how could he do it without the use of his legs? He had no means whatsoever to meet his needs And by the way, can I add, he wasn't owed anything because of that. He wasn't deserving of anything because of that, nor could he merit or work for anything either. You know what he could do? All he could do was beg. That's all he could do, was beg. Nobody owed him anything. He didn't deserve anything. All he could do was fall on his face and beg others to give to him so that his physical needs could be met. He can only beg. And as Peter and John walked by the gate, it says that he asked alms of them. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He asked for a gift from these two disciples. And it says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them. You know, we see one noble characteristic in the life of this lame man. And that noble characteristic was he listened to God's messengers. But it says, I find this quite interesting, that it says in verse 5 there that he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He's expecting a gift. He was expecting money. Money that would help to meet his earthly needs. Money that would secure him physical nourishment. He was expecting something. But he would receive something much more, of much greater value than what he thought these two disciples would give him. I wonder if someone was nearby looking at the plight of this man and knowing whom these disciples were, could have heard him asking these types of questions rather than ask for a shekel. Maybe they would have said to the lame man, you need to ask for healing. Rather than asking for two mites, you need to ask for strength. Rather than asking for money, why don't you ask for legs? This man was expecting something, but he got something much more valuable than he ever could have expected. He got the ability to walk again. He wouldn't need to sit at that gate begging anymore. He'd be healed, it says in verse 6, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Many have stated that this proves that Peter was not the Pope, because the Pope has a lot of silver and a lot of gold. But Peter didn't have any. But he said, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This indeed was a miracle. And this man immediately received his strength. And not only could he walk, but he could leap and jump and run. Which kind of leads me to my next point. This man, he walked differently than he did before. Before, he didn't walk anywhere unless he pulled himself forward with his hands. But now everybody who witnessed him, they witnessed a man who walked and conducted himself much, much differently than he did prior to his healing. It says in verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They were amazed. Amazed at what had happened to this man. Amazed at the change that occurred in his life. Of course, the disciples point out in verse number 12, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" Simon Peter, John, this had nothing to do with us. We were just an instrument. An instrument in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he would point out, "You crucified." This was done in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he's the one that receives all the glory. But you know, as you think about this account and this incident and what occurs, you should notice quite a few similarities between the lame man and his condition and his healing and the sinner who comes to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Because you know, none of us here were born into this world physically lame. But you know, every single one of us were born into the world spiritually lame. Unable to walk spiritually. Unable to please the Lord. The Bible says it this way in the book of Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You were dead. And you know, a man that's spiritually dead is incapable of walking in a spiritual manner. But not only, you know, were we born spiritually dead, spiritually lame, we were without any spiritual strength. We had no strength. We had no ability whatsoever to live a righteous life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." When we were without strength. There in Ephesians chapter 2 again, in verse number 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our condition. When we were born into this world, we were without Christ. We were aliens. We were foreigners. We were strangers. We didn't understand the goodness and the blessings of God. We were like this man, without hope. Incapable of doing anything about our spiritual condition. Spiritually dead, alienated from God, without hope, and without the ability to do anything about our spiritual condition. All we really could do was beg, just like the lame man. Beg for spiritual healing. Beg for salvation. Beg for forgiveness, because it wasn't something that we deserved. You know, like the lame man, nobody owed us anything. We were not deserving of anything. Nor could we do anything about our condition. Except maybe what the lame man did, which was listen to God's messengers. You recall back there in chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." In the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice again, and I pointed this out when we looked at this passage, that the Bible equates salvation with gladly receiving His Word. Or we could say, as it says elsewhere, believing the record that God has given to us of His Son. How is a sinner saved? By faith. Simply believing what God has revealed to us in His Word. And give the lame man just a little bit of credit, because at least he looked and gave heed to what the disciples said. Do you believe this book, by the way? Do you believe Jesus died for you? In your place on Calvary? Do you believe that apart from Him, you're doomed? But you know, like the lame man also, those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ always get much more than what they expected. You know, some people seek, people seek the Lord Jesus Christ for many different reasons. You know, some people seek the Lord because they want marital help. I've told you the story before when we were at meetings one time at the Trinity Church across the highway. And there was a bunch of people who brought different groups, and one individual brought a bunch of criminals, and I forget exactly where they were from. But these men were, you know, facing hardships. And there was many in that particular service that raised their hand wanting to be saved. And so Pastor Horton at that time asked different ones to deal with those who raised their hands. And so I talked to a man that was there. And you know, really the man raised his hand, and really the man came forward because his marriage was in shambles. He didn't really come forward because he saw himself as a sinner and wanted Jesus to save him. He came forward because he wanted God to fix his marriage. And that's honorable to want God to fix your marriage. But probably the marriage was never going to be fixed until the man first trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, which he had not done. Some people seek the Lord because they want help with their fight with cancer or some other type of disease. Sometimes people seek Christ because they want financial help. They want to be rich. They want to be financially independent. But can I say to each and every one of us, if those are the reasons that we seek the Lord, if we'll seek Him for salvation, we'll get something much more than we ever had hoped for. Even the sinner that comes to Christ for the right reason, like the publican that smote upon his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. All he asked for was mercy. All he asked the Lord was that He not give him what he deserves. But he got a lot more than that. He got more than mercy. He got grace. And he got blessings. And again, it reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2 that says, but God, who is rich in mercy, yes, He'll give us mercy, but it also says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, He made us alive, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He not only gave us mercy, but He gives us grace. And it says that in the ages to come, He's going to show His exceeding riches, the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Meaning throughout all of eternity, He's going to bless us, shower us with His blessings. We'll get more than mercy. But we'll also get His grace, His goodness, His favor. Many times we call out to the Lord to save us from the pits of hell that we rightly deserve. And He not only saves us from hell, though, He He gives us all the glories of heaven. Think about what was done for this lame man. This man that had no strength. He had absolutely no hope. No future whatsoever. And this day changed his life forever. It's no wonder he didn't only stand up, but that he leaped and went leaping and praising God. But think about what's been done for us. We had no spiritual strength, no ability to save ourselves. We were on our way to hell. Maybe some of us still are on our way to hell, separated from God for all eternity. And deserve it 100%. Boy, if we've called upon Jesus Christ to save us, He's changed all that. That day we got saved, everything changed. And I can't help but wonder whether or not people look at our lives post-conversion and wonder like they did at the life of the lame man. They looked at him and they knew that was the same man. But some of them still wondered. What happened to this man? Is that really the same man? Because he acts so different. He conducts himself so different. The man that crawled is now leaping and praising God. And when people look at our lives, do they say, oh, what a change. What a change that's been wrought in that person's life since they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. For the Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And even there in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, it says, walk not as other Gentiles. Our lives are to be distinct. They're to be different than the world around us. And people are to look at us and see that there's a difference. That something's happened in our lives that hasn't happened in theirs. And it ought to cause them to seek Christ. But then, there lastly, notice, not only is Jesus the one responsible and the one who should receive all the glory for what was done in the lame man's life, the same is true about us in regards to our salvation. Simon Peter was careful to give Jesus Christ all the glory for what had transpired. And you know, in our salvation and the change that has been wrought in our lives, all the glory belongs to the Lord. He should get all the glory, all the credit, all the praise. By the way, as we talked in Sunday school, not Mary, not the apostles, no saint is to share in that glory. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, do you see yourself as a lame man? A person who's born dead in trespasses and sins without the ability to save yourself? Do you need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to save you from your sins and the punishment that you justly deserve for Him? Then I encourage you to call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you today. And He will, and He'll bring about a change in your life that's very similar to the change that took place in this man's life. But if you are saved, and you are a child of God, I hope meditating upon this passage will help you to appreciate to a greater degree what Jesus Christ has done for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the many applications that we can make from it. And Lord, it just appears to me as we study this section that there's so many applications that can be made to the sinner. Lord, as was stated in the message, each one of us, like this layman, were born with a spiritual infirmity. And Lord, we had no ability to do anything about our condition. But we're thankful that Jesus saw our condition and came to this earth that we might be saved. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning that is not yet saved, they've not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you'll draw them unto thyself, that they would put their faith and their trust and their confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And then, Lord, I pray that those of us who are saved would fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ for what He has done for us. Lord, may we clearly live our lives in a manner that the world would be in wonder and amazement as to what has taken place in our life. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I'll have Elisa begin to play a hymn of invitation. And if you're not saved, I want to invite you to come forward and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps God dealt with you in regards to something else during the message. You're saved, but you've been challenged to serve Him in a greater way. I encourage you right where you are to pray to the Lord and ask Him to help you to serve Him as faithfully as you can. He'll not only give us strength to be saved, He'll give us the strength to serve Him.